Well, hey, that's what we're going to be talking about today. There's certain things that come very naturally to us. There's certain things that don't come naturally to us. And so we're going to dive into what some of those are and what, when we begin to hang around Jesus, what begins to become natural as we work at it. And so really excited you're here this morning. Whether you've been with us through this series or you're here for the first time, it's great to have you here. And my name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to meet you this morning. And if you've missed any of the past 3 weeks, you can go back to our webpage or the Crosspoint app, Crosspoint. web.org, and you can go to the podcast page and kind of catch up. You can get up to speed on what we've been talking about. And then this week, we're also going to be adding discussion questions. So if you go in the app to this week, and then you'll see a tab beginning tomorrow that says discussion guide, and that's for our Life Together groups that are beginning this week. And so you'll have access to those questions. Or if you just want to have a dialogue with friends, maybe you're not in a group, but you just want to have a casual dialogue, you can jump into those questions and kind of unpack some of the things we've been talking about. Well, we've been in the series, as we've been sharing, called Follow the Leader, and just a real quick recap on things that are really relevant that we've covered so far to all of us. And first and foremost, you know, if you're an unbeliever, or if you are like, man, my life is just a wreck, and if you just could see my life, Kurt, you would say there's no way Jesus would invite me to follow. I just want to tell you, you're a prime candidate. All right, you're the kind of person. In fact, all of us are sinners. Every single person Jesus invited to follow him didn't believe he was who he said he was, but they chose to kind of travel with him and just listen and take notes anyway. And then, I guess the idea is, regardless of where you are in the spiritual landscape of your life, you're invited to lean in and just kind of explore who this Jesus is. And then last week, we looked at the end goal. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the four authorized biographies of Jesus' life, we kind of get this picture over and over about why Jesus invites us to follow him and what the end goal is. What's the result? And many people think it's heaven. That's the ultimate goal, which that's like a side benefit. But Jesus doesn't really talk about heaven being the goal all that often at all. The thing he talks about is that you and I would have a faith that's bigger than our fear. That you and I would have a confidence that overshadows any of the fears or the things that we face in life. And so he says, I want you to live in a way where you're not shackled and paralyzed by all these things in life that cause us to live out of fear. And so this morning, we're going to answer another question, really important question that I know we're all dying to know. And the question is this, if I'm going to follow Jesus, what should I wear? Because you're like, we've been talking for 4 weeks now, and nobody said, like, this is what you're going to wear. Because you know how it goes, right? They say they'll know you're Christians by your T-shirts, right? That's how people will know who you are. And so I'm serious. We're really going to be talking about what you wear today. And so the reason we're going to look at this, now hang with me. Don't check out too early. The reason we're going to do this is because whenever you're following something, you wear things that indicate what it is you're following. And so I want to do a quick quiz this morning. I'm going to put some images on the screen, and I want you to just kind of yell out who you think these people are following. Are you ready? Let's try it. Here we go. Who do you think this guy's following right here? Yeah, the Packers. All right. How about these guys right here? Yeah. You guys excited about that now? Saw some Purdue fans this morning. How about this fan right here? Who's this guy following? Yeah. See, whenever there's always a few in the room. Now how about this kid? This is a little more difficult right here. Who's he following? Yeah, Brazil soccer. You guys are good. You know soccer. All right, now it's not just sports fans that wear things that indicate that we're following certain things in our lives. How about these two women right here? Who are they following? Yeah, Muhammad. Likely Muhammad. These women are likely Muslim. And you guys are like, you're like, oh, they're following Muhammad. You're like church people all of a sudden. You walk in the building and you like don't want to yell it out, right? And so how about these guys right here? Buddha. Yeah, somebody said a Buddha. These are Buddhist monks right here. These are Buddhist priests. Now this one's a little more difficult. How about these guys right here? Wow, you guys are good. Yeah, and Sikhism. These guys are following Sikhism. You got to be incredibly handsome and cool to pull that kind of headdress off like these guys are. Look at them. Did you realize Sikhism is the fifth largest religion in the world, growing like crazy? And so when you see men in these headdress or this kind of headgear, these are men who are following the teachings of Sikhism. All right, now, so that brings us to Christians. All right, if you're going to be some or a follower of Jesus, you're going to be a follower of Jesus, what do you wear? Well, there's two options. This is one. You can certainly go this route. which all of us are dying to do, right? And then you can go to like the, all the way to the other end of the continuum, and you can go this way, because that just screams like, I want to be like you, right? And so, like, what do we do? What do we wear? Well, the Apostle Paul, he actually talks about this. The Apostle Paul actually gives us some very clear clarity on what we wear if we're going to follow Jesus. And don't get too freaked out. There were no buttons or t-shirt screen print machines at that time, so it's not going to be that kind of thing. So Paul, before we get into what he says, the Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with Paul, he wrote more in the New Testament than any other figure, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the authorized kind of biographies of Jesus' life and what happened while he was on this earth. Paul then writes all these letters, and you're like, well, of course. I mean, he's steeped in spirituality. Of course he can write this stuff and follow God. No, like that wasn't Paul's life. In fact, when we first meet Paul in the New Testament, he's actually named Saul, and he's actually out arresting and killing Christians. In fact, here's what he says about himself in Acts 26. He says, I was so obsessed with persecuting them, meaning the Christians, that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. So Paul, he kind of calls himself a Christian hunter. He's out hunting Christians down, all right? He's trying to arrest them. He hated Christians. So if you're not real fond of Christians and you're like, that's kind of the turn off for me in following Jesus, then you're going to like Paul, all right? You got to read some of his writings. If you have a Christian in your workplace who you just get really annoyed with, you're like, I wish somebody just arrest him so they don't have to sit next to me tomorrow, you're going to like Paul, all right? You got to read some of the things Paul says, because this is where Paul was. And then in the midst of arresting Christians and putting them in jail, he actually becomes a follower of Jesus. He has this crazy, powerful moment. It's called the Damascus Road experience, and you can read about it. And he actually begins to follow Jesus. He does an about face in his life. And so everything that Paul learned, he learned from the followers of Jesus. He didn't learn it from Jesus because Jesus wasn't around at that point. Jesus already died, been resurrected, returned to heaven. So he learns the teachings of Jesus from the followers of Jesus, people like Matthew and John and Luke, and certainly knew Peter at that time. And so one of the primary teachings that Paul just leveraged over and over and over again was, you know, something Jesus said right before he left this planet. He's gathering like his closest disciples in. He's calling them to kind of lean in. Hey, I want to tell you something. And here's what he says. Jesus says to them, he says, hey, look, I'm about to leave, and where I'm going, and think about this for a moment, because Jesus has been inviting people to follow him. All right, for 3 years, these guys have been following, you know, every footstep, listening, learning, taking notes. He says, I'm about to leave, and where I'm going, you can't go. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I thought that was the point, that we're like supposed to go everywhere with you and follow you. And then he focuses in on this main thing that he wants to build into them in terms of what it means to follow. And so here's what it says in John chapter 13. He says, a new command I give you, and then here's the new thing. He says, love one another. And they're like, well, what do you mean, Jesus? We know that. That's nothing new. You've been talking about that for a while. He's like, let me finish. He says, here's the new command I give you, love one another. And then he goes on, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In other words, if you forget everything that I've talked about and everything I've taught you, you know, about love and what your life should be about, I want you to remember this one thing. Like, don't go out and treat each other the way each other treats each other. Like, you know, you like us and them, they like to, like, treat each other the way they got treated from the other people. He says, don't do that. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to love one another the way I have loved you. And then he like looks at Matthew, I'm sure, and he's like, Matthew, remember, like, you know, when we talked about Matthew a few weeks ago, remember that day where you were out at the harbor and you're collecting taxes, you know, at your tax collection booth, and like we walked up and Peter just wanted to like spit on you, like he so despised you, he just wanted to like punch you in the face. And before he could even do that, I said, hey, Matthew, before you even really proclaim or say you do or don't think you believe who I am, and before you even, you know, change anything in your life, would you just kind of join my group? Would you join my posse? Would you follow me? And Matthew, do you remember like what it was like when I invited you to be part of my circle? And Matthew's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, all right, well, that feeling you had, I want you to go do unto others the way I made you feel right there. He's like, oh, okay. So he's like, I want you to love one another the way that I've loved you, not the way that you've been treated or that you think other people deserve. And then he goes on, he says, by this, when you do this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. And a disciple is simply a follower. All right, we're going to define this a bit later, but a disciple is simply somebody who's following, regardless of where you are in your journey. You're just saying, okay, here's where I am. I'm going to take one step, next step in my journey. So by this unusual kind of love, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So he says, this is the mark. This is the thing I want people to see out of your life. And of course, Peter's kind of always the wild, you know, the wild card here. He says, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? She's like, what? He's like, no, you said like 10 minutes ago, like you're going someplace and we're not going to be able to go where you're going somewhere where none of us are going to be able to follow you. Where are you going? And I'm thinking Jesus was just like, Peter, I'm like giving you the main thing and you're like distracted by where I'm going. He's like, yeah, like where are you going? Okay, you know, Jesus like, just focus in on the doing to others the way I've done to you. He's like, yeah, but I've got like this guy that's really annoying in my office and he sits in the cube right next to me and I'm thinking, man, I can't do another date next to him. Like, Jesus, if you're going somewhere, like, do you have a job in your church that I could have? Because I'm ready to leave this job. I mean, Peter's like totally disconnecting. And Jesus is like, don't, you know, this whole like doing to others isn't just like some nice thing. It's not like a great idea to just like build into and thread into some worship song. He's like, I want you to actually go do this. I want this to mark your life. And see, the problem with this, what Jesus was building toward was he understood something. Because he understood the religions of the day. And he understood that all religions, in all religion gravitates toward rule-keeping instead of relationship development. And he understood this, meaning, you know, when we begin to follow some kind of religion, and in this case, Christianity, all right, let's just pick on us since we're in the room. You know, when you begin to engage in some kind of religion, it's a lot easier to just say, well, as long as I do this and this and this, then God's going to love me. And as long as I don't do that, but when I do that, you know, even though God doesn't want me to do that, I can, like, go and ask for, you know, forgiveness, or I can apologize, and then I might go out and do it again, and then I still feel bad about it, but I don't apologize for it, and then eventually I ask God to forgive me. It's like, I can get this whole system where I know how to make things right with me and God, and that's really kind of what it is. And as long as I do that, I'm good with God, and I can hate people, and it doesn't matter. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how it works. He's like, I want you to do to others, you know, the same thing I've done for you. He's like, you can't just like hate people. But he says all religions tend to so focus so much on the rules and God, as long as I follow this rule, and we forget that it's about relationship development. Jesus is like, I don't want it to go there. You know, last couple weekends, we've had snow. And, of course, this weekend we had some snow as well. And one of the questions that came, you know, people were like, hey, are we going to have services at Cross Point, you know? And so just kind of a heads up on this, if you ever wonder if we're going to be open. I grew up in Michigan, all right? So, like, we're going to be open. Like, it's not really a question. Like I'm like 2.5 inches, really? Like, you think we're going to close over 2.5 inches of snow last weekend? You know, and so anyway, I mean, if it's, like, illegal to drive, we will consider closing. But, I mean, you can just plan on us being here, all right? And so, you know, it was kind of funny, though. We have an awesome social media team. And so our social media team last Sunday, we made sure everything was good, and this is what they posted on our page. It said, hey, it's clear and 72 inside. Of course we're going to be open. You know, and then they went on to talk about, you know, we're going to be here. Well, it was humorous because someone, which we've taken their name off, we don't even know this person, they replied, and they're probably a church person who their church closed, all right, and maybe they were feeling a little guilty that other churches weren't, and we're like, man, we love being here. We get excited every time, you know, to be here on weekends. This person wrote, we were closed today. We were on a level 2 emergency on the roads. That's our rule, no service. I'm like, of course, because Christians, we gravitate toward rule making instead of relationship development. I mean, it's just natural. It's not even like her fault, really. I mean, it's just naturally what happens in religion. Jesus understood this. He totally understood this. He totally got that this happened. And so he's just like, let me be really clear. All right, I want the way you love other people to distinguish you. I want it to set you apart. All right, see, in Christianity, we kind of confuse this whole idea of discipleship or following with discipline. So discipleship, like being a disciple, is literally just like taking my next step, whatever that might be, and it's going to be different for every single one of us in following Jesus. Discipline, on the other hand, is, you know, well, I read my Bible 10 times this week, or I prayed 4 days, or I was in church, you know, 3 of the last 4 weekends, and if anybody that wasn't isn't as disciplined, as good a disciple as I am. No, those are two separate things. See, it's easy to confuse discipleship with discipline. And so Jesus is trying to say, hey, you know, the longer we're in this thing, we tend to gravitate toward rule keeping instead of relationship building. So 22 years go by. All right, since Jesus has died, been resurrected, the Apostle Paul comes along. He's now a Christian. And he's going all around the Mediterranean rim and he's planting churches. And why is he planting churches? Because he knows this is the single best way for new people to come to see the good news of who Jesus is. So he just starts planting churches all around the Mediterranean rim. It's why we have this is a part of our vision. We're going to be talking more about this in a few weeks because it's one of the single best ways to help new people come to experience Christ. And so as he plants these churches, new Christians begin to, people that are new to faith begin to try to figure out, okay, how do I follow Jesus? And Paul notices something. He said, before long, people aren't in this, you know, kind of trying to figure Jesus out for too long before they like gravitate toward the rules. And so he's like, we gotta remember it's not just about if I do this and that, but it's really like relationship development. And so he's like, you become mean when you're all about the rules. So we gotta reinsert some bigger picture vision for what Jesus calls us to. So Paul starts writing letters to these churches, these Christians in these new churches. And he just tries to get back to the basics and say, here's what it means. And so he hones in on this idea of what it means to love one another. And he gets very specific, and he uses some very specific verbs and nouns and words to give us an imagery of what your life looks like when you begin to follow Jesus. All right, so he writes this letter to this group known as the Colossians. They're these Christians in Colossae, and here's what he says in Colossians 3. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, now remember, he's writing to Christians here, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. Here it is. He's going to tell you what to wear, all right? And remember, there's no screen printers, there's no t-shirts at that time, right? He wants to give us an imagery of what the life of somebody who's following Jesus begins to look like as you hang around Jesus. He says, clothe yourselves, and he gives us these words. Here's the first one, with compassion. This is the first word he gives. He says, when you love somebody, you have compassion. Now, let me explain what compassion is. See, in the Greek language, there's two different words that help us understand the word compassion. In the English language, we might say something like, I love you with all my heart. All right, well, they don't have a phrase like that in the Greek language. There's nothing equivalent to that. And so in the Greek language, if you were going to say, I love you with all my heart, you might say it this way, and it's a little gross, I'm going to be honest, and the junior high boys in the room are going to love this, all right? So junior high boys, get ready. You're going to love this. They would say something like, I'm going to love you with all my bowels. All right, I'm going to love you with my guts. That's what they would say. All right, and so what Paul's trying to help them see is you need to clothe yourself with something that you and I have experienced at some point in our life. Whenever you've come across someone who just had something tragic happen or they just were really bummed out about something and you just went, oh, man, I am so sorry. Oh, and you felt it like in your gut, like in your bowels. All right, you didn't feel it in your chest, like in your heart, like, no, oh, when I saw that, it just made my heart break for you. You feel it in your gut and your bowels. And so they'd say, I love you with all my bowels. You had to try this when you tuck your daughter into bed tonight. Hey, honey, I just love you with all my bowels. I don't know where that'll go, but it might be fun. Why is this so important? Because, see, compassion is when you feel what the other person is experiencing. And you feel it in your gut. Right, when you see something that didn't go the way they wanted and you just go, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, which is different than like when your kid comes home from school and they got an F and you're like, well, should have studied. You might say that later, but when you see them struggling over that grade, you go, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got that F. I know that kind of puts you behind a bit. You might later say, you know, you should have studied more. But in the moment, you have compassion, right? Or somebody, you know, gets fired at work. You just don't go, well, should have been working harder. I mean, I just hate to tell you. No, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you feel it in your bowels, right? This is compassion, right? Regardless of whether you told them like 10 times, man, you should really be working harder. See, we come with all kinds of excuses to not have compassion. Just be like, well, I'm sorry. No, Paul says, I want you to clothe yourself with this sense of, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I want you to feel what they feel. It's compassion. Then he adds this next word. It's the word kindness. Now, you know what kindness is, right? This is so helpful. Kindness is when you loan your strength to someone else. All right, kindness is when you say, okay, I'm going to extend myself. Paul says, I want you to put on a new habit. I want you to loan yourself to others in a way that's beneficial. That's what kindness is. So somebody might go, oh my gosh, you were so kind. I can't believe you did that. What are they saying? They're going, well, gosh, you didn't owe me anything, but you did something like unusual. You loaned yourself to me. You extended yourself to me. You extended your capacity to me. And so he says, I want you to clothe yourself with this kind of kindness where you loan yourself to people. just to be helpful and beneficial. So he says, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, and this next word is the word humility. Now, we know what humility is, right? We generally know what humility is, but remember, these words Paul gives us are all in relationship to someone else. So humility is how you see yourself in relationship to others. All right, so humility is in relationship to someone else. So humility is when I see myself as I really am in relationship to other people, but also to God. Or it's having an appropriate view or an appropriate viewing myself accurately in relationship to other people and to God. Which means I view myself accurately when I realize I'm just simply a citizen of humanity. I mean, regardless of if I can run faster than somebody, or if I'm taller, or smarter, or wealthier, or skinnier, or, you know, whatever we might say, I mean, that kind of negates the fact that we're all born into the world naked, right? That you didn't choose what family you were born into, and for the most part, you don't choose when you die. I mean, what he's saying is humility is an equality among all human beings. It's a sense that, you know, the things that make me special and the things that make you special aren't how smart you are, how wealthy you are, how good looking you may be. It's the thing that makes you special and the thing that makes me special is simply that we were all created by God and that God chose us and that he loves us. That's what makes you and I special. So much so that when you interact with other people, you know, you may be somebody who has accomplished a lot, or you may be, you know, a really big deal in your company, or you may be like famous in your department, or you may be like the captain of the team, or you may be like in any given setting the wealthiest person in the room. But when you interact with other people, you realize that's not what makes me special. The thing that makes me special, the things that makes me unique, is simply that God chose me. He created me just like he created you, and he invites all of us to call him a heavenly father. It's humility. So Paul goes on. He says, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, and the next word, gentleness. Now, this is a great word, gentleness. You know what gentleness is? Gentleness is the decision to respond to you in light of your strength and weakness, not out of my strength. Think about that for a moment. It's choosing to respond to you out of your strength and weakness, not out of my strength or my capacity. And so I want to give you an image. It's the difference between like gently picking up a contact lens, how gently you pick up a contact lens, versus, you know, palming a football, you know, grabbing a football and getting ready to throw it. I can do both. But in each situation, I'm saying, okay, how do I need to adjust my grip? What's needed in this situation? All right, what's the strength and the capacity of the other person? And how do I gear down? All right, how do I not just bring the fullness of who I am and my strength and my power, my position, but how do I gear down? And when I gear down, guess what I communicate? I communicate, hey, this relationship right here is more important than you knowing what a big deal I am. This relationship right here is more important than you understanding how powerful I am or what my capacity or how much strength I have. I'm going to gear down. I'm going to back down a bit because I want to be gentle. That's what gentleness is. So Paul says, I want you to clothe yourself in this. He says, when you begin hanging around me, when you begin doing things as I do and you get this extended to you, I want you to emulate that to others. And then he goes on, the next word is patience. And we all know what this word is, right? Patience is simply deciding to go the speed of someone else. That's what patience is, right? It's deciding to go the speed. It's gearing down. It's backing down and determining, I'm going to go your speed today, not just the speed that I can operate at. And so Paul says, man, I want you to clothe yourselves. I want these to be the marks of your life. I want you to be known by these things. And then he summarizes this whole passage. He goes on in verse 13. He says, bear with each other and forgive each one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, then he circles it right back around to where he began. This whole idea of forgive as the Lord forgave you. In fact, that's the list right there. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Right? And he says, hey, I want you to be so compassionate that you extend the compassion to others that I gave to you. I want you to be so gentle. Remember that time where you were just really hurting and, man, you were fragile and I reached down like picking up a contact lens? I mean, I was so gentle. Remember that time where, you know, you were kind of new in your faith journey and you were trying to figure out, okay, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And I know, Jesus, this is what you want me to do, but I don't always do what I want to do. And remember you told me, you know, you told God, God, I'll never do that again. And then before you knew it, you're doing it again. And not only once, but like three times. And do you remember how patient Jesus was with you? He's like, I want you to extend that kind of patience. And then he goes on with one more summary statement. He says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, which is kind of a fancy way of saying this is kind of like the umbrella under which all of these things fall. So here's the list right here. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love. He's like, this is what I want you to wear. Now, let me just address the elephant in the room for just a moment, all right? Because for some of you, and you're going to have to give me a little grace on this, you're going to have to take this in the right way, but for some of us, you're a type A personality. You're an entrepreneur. You're a builder, developer. You're on it every single day, and you're looking at this list, and you're like, Kurt, how in the world am I going to get anything done if I do these things? Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I stay home with my kids all day, but like, you know, when they get older, they're going places. But I mean, if I got to go to work, and I got to develop something and sell something and market it and negotiate deals, I mean, how am I? I don't know that I can do these things. I mean, that's exactly what I'd expect a pastor to say, who just sits around and reads the Bible and drinks coffee and loves people all day, right? I mean, that's exactly that compassion. That's what I'd expect you to say. Well, so let me give you a little insight on this, all right? And this might be helpful, because this is to some degree the reason I can lean into these things. And I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a developer, I'm a pusher. But here's how I can build these things into my life and take them seriously. It's because of who said them. All right, remember, this is the Apostle Paul right here. All right, this is a guy who will accomplish more in a couple years than you and I will ever do in our entire lifetime, or 10 lifetimes. I mean, this is a guy who we still know his name today, 2,000 years later. Right, he's a common name, the Apostle Paul. How many have heard of the Apostle Paul before you walked in here today, out of curiosity? Look at that. All right, you may have a really cool company and a kick butt app. All right, but it's probably not going to be remembered 20 years from now. People are going to be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. We still remember Paul, right? Paul, he makes the suggestion, hey, clothe yourself in these things. And this is a guy who traveled all around the Mediterranean rim in a boat you wouldn't even step foot on. All right, and not only that, I mean, while he's doing this, he's going through rough waters. He's getting beat up. He's getting stoned, like the kind with rocks, not... You know, he's like getting beat up, you know, flogged. He's getting snake bitten at times. And he planted these churches. He was an entrepreneur, developer. He franchises the church all around the Mediterranean rim. And you and I are here as a result of that. But we're here not because of what he said and not because of what he wrote. Get this, we're here because of what he did. And he did it without electricity or Advil. Amazing. I mean, think about this. So it's possible. That's the point. It's possible. It's possible, but it's not natural. These aren't things you're going to walk out tomorrow and be like, oh man, I'm just hitting every single one of these. Yeah, they take work. They take time. It takes reflecting. Okay, Jesus, here's what you've done for me. Here's what I've felt when I'm with you. What does it mean for me to begin to reflect that into other people's lives? And see, the problem with this kind of message, all right? The problem with this is, you know, you and I, we're gonna walk out of here in about 15 minutes and we're going to go on with our lives and get in our cars and go home and have lunch or dinner or whatever. And you're going to be talking and you'll be like, oh, that was pretty good. He made me laugh. There's some helpful stuff. I'm giving myself some credit. I don't know. You may not say that. All right. But you're going to walk out of here and then you're going to come back next week and be like, okay, what do they have for us next week? See, the point isn't that we just hear it. The point is that we do it. It's the doing that makes the difference. So I want to give you kind of a little way to remember this, all right? And so I'm going to put these on the screen again in a moment, and I'm just going to warn you, this is lame, all right? This is lame, all right? But I want you to be able to take this with you to remember it. So just to set the expectation properly, turn to somebody next to you and say, this is going to be lame. Just tell them right now, this is going to be lame, all right? I want everybody to know this is going to be lame. All right, are you ready? Now, how many of you have ever seen a chick flick movie rated PG? Out of curiosity, anybody? Yeah, all of them, right? Well, here you go. Chick flick PG, all right? I know, it's lame, right? But you can write it on your wrist. Use your pen and just write it. Tattoo it this week. I don't care. Take a screenshot, all right? The goal is I want you to walk out of here with this list. I want you to take this list this week, and I want you to put it into practice, because guess what? Come tomorrow, that list right there is not natural. You're not naturally going to do some of these things. Right? You're like, I'm kidding. I'm going to have to quit my wife and my job and my life if I'm going to do these things. I mean, how do I do these things? And if you notice, kindness is up there twice just to make it work, you know, make the words flow. But some of you need kindness like an extra dose, all right? Let's just be honest. But see, remember, Jesus, he said, hey, this is a new thing I'm giving you. Like, this is new. Not just like love other people, but do it in a way that you've experienced from me. So this is not going to come natural to us. He says, don't treat people the way they deserve to be treated. I want you to do it the way that I've treated you. Right? I want that to be the thing that distinguishes you. And some of us, you know, you're thinking, man, I'm gonna have to filter my type A personality, and I don't know if all my list is gonna get done for tomorrow, because type A's always have a list, and you may not get through your full list. You may get most of it done, and you may have to even filter the rest of your list through Chick Flick PG. Or you might be sitting here going, oh my gosh. I mean, you gave me like a low tolerance for anything but excellence. I mean, you created me that way. That's why I do quality control in my work. I mean, you actually made me that way, and I do it really well. But see, you may have to go, okay, it's not that I don't want to be known as a person for excellence, but how can I gear down, not in my achieving of excellence, but so that I can also have compassion and kindness? I mean, just think about this. What if somebody looked at your life, even though you drive for excellence, and went, oh my word, look at her go. Man, she has so much capacity beyond what she's exhibiting right here. I mean, she has so much strength. But man, she knows what it means to gear down and bring exactly what's needed. Paul says, that's what I want you to clothe yourself with. And besides, what's your options? This? I mean, you could do this. You can go that route, right? But see, the problem with this, you know what the problem with this is right here? This, both ends of it, is all about making a point, right? In fact, that's why some of you have been checked out of church for a while, because somebody said, well, Jesus made a point, and he doesn't love you, and, you know, he hates you, and we're glad you're here, by the way. But see, Jesus, he didn't come to make a point. He could have done that in 15 minutes. He didn't have to die on the cross to make a point. Jesus came to make a difference. And that's what he wants out of you. He wants to use your life, followers of Jesus, to make a difference, because it's made a difference in you. He wants to use the church to make a difference, because it's made a difference in you. And we know where the difference is made, right? It's made in our homes. It's made in our marriages. It's made in our kids. It's made in our workspaces, in our communities. The difference is made when you and I put on compassion and we treat people differently. This past weekend, I had a young lady come up to me in the commons after one of our services, and she said, hey, Kurt, I want to tell you about something that happened my first weekend I was here at Cross Point. I said, all right, you know. And I said, by the way, I remember your first weekend. I talked to you your first weekend. She's like, yeah, I was a wreck. She said, I came in here and I walked out just crying. And like, she's like, God just met me uniquely with exactly what I needed, which is just what God does. But she said, I was bawling, man. I walked out of here crying, and I'm like, I got to get myself together. So she went to the restroom. And she said, I walked into the restroom, and when I walked in, I was going to go into one of the stalls to kind of pull myself together, and there was a little girl in there, and she was just, like, standing there, and as I walked in, she could see I was crying, and she was just kind of staring at me. And she said, she walked over as I'm trying to, you know, lock the door in the stall, and she said, hey, are you okay? And she said, I said, yeah, I can't even see enough to lock the door. And she said, in the meantime, she walked over to the counter and grabbed a tissue and brought it back. She said, are you sure you're okay? And she said, yeah, I'm okay. And she said, I took the tissue and locked the door, and I went in and I pulled myself together. And she said, about 5 minutes later, I walked out, and I'm like, I don't know where that little girl went, but she was looking for the little girl. In fact, she said, every week since then, she's been coming for like 3 or 4 months. Every week since then, she said, I've been looking for that little girl. I've not seen her. I don't know who she was, or maybe it was she was just here like once or something. And then she said, tonight, I just saw her walk in the door. She said, and when I saw her, I just felt like I needed to come tell you that one of the reasons I'm here, one of the reasons I've connected, among others, is that I thought, man, even the kids care here. Now, that's not to say that we always get it right, but I tell you what, when you see something and you know, kind of feel it in your gut, and you're willing to just walk across the room and go, you know, man, are you okay? I tell you what, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And that little girl, you know who you are. See, this is what Jesus wants from us. All right, so I got an idea. Tomorrow, when we go to work, all right, chick flick PG, all right? Chick flick PG, right? And I tell you what, it'll make a difference. It will make a difference. You may not get it all right, but it will begin to make a difference. In fact, this is one of our next steps. On the back of your connection card, there's some next steps. You can mark it on there. Say, hey, I'm going to implement. I'm going to clothe myself in this week. I'm going to begin to try to implement chick flick PG. You know, there's other next steps. Maybe it's coming back next weekend, inviting a friend next week and getting into a group. A lot of cool ways to take a next step. But man, I want to encourage you, let's clothe ourselves this week because it will make a difference. It will make a difference. All right. Let's stand. Let me pray for us. We're going to sing one more and get out of here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for just this thing that he had a burden on his heart to help others experience this radical, unique grace and patience and gentleness that he experienced from you as his heavenly Father. Even amidst all the terrible things he had done. And he said, man, God, if you can be that gentle and that patient and that, you know, graceful with me, that kind with me, man, I want to help others experience the same thing. And so we thank you for Paul. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you for what you've been stirring in our hearts today. God, as we walk out of here today, help us to know what to do with this. Help us to know how to implement this. Help us to know what environments in our life we need to exhibit some chick flick PG. And God, we know it'll make a difference, and you can do that. You will make a difference through us as we clothe ourselves with your love. So we just pray that you would empower us as we take those steps this week. Amen.